A blessed Lord's Day morning to one and all. Thank you again for the opportunity to come and minister to you God's word again, especially so when you're in the midst of a lot of changes. I think it's very, very challenging for times like that. We went through that stage of our church redevelopment as well. Only God can give you that peace and the joy of serving Him in this very particular area of rebuilding the kingdom of God. Well, this morning, many churches are commemorating the 502nd year of Reformation, and it is a day to remember, so that we will never forget what happened so long ago, but it is still alive in us, still burning in our hearts, and therefore giving us that continual passion to hold on to the word of life and to live faithfully until the day the Lord calls us. Well, this morning our focus is on Romans chapter 5, and this certainly must be the classic chapter when we talk about this very pertinent, important doctrine of justification. Justification by faith. My topic this morning is when justification matters. Does it really matter to us? And I'm talking about mattering to us individually, not just as a church. Individually, because this has to do with your relationship with God. So this morning, I just want to cover with you very briefly 3 points. We'll talk about the benefits of justification, something that Paul begins on a positive note when he talks about justification, the need of justification. Why is there a need for justification? Why is there a need for you to be justified? And of course, the basis for justification, that's the foundation, that's the rock, bedrock of our beliefs, that's the bedrock of Christianity. And we come with some words of conclusion and application as well. Why did I say that it is the bedrock of Christianity? Here, this is what Martin Luther says. He says, this doctrine, justification by faith, is the head and a cornerstone. It alone begets, nourishes, builds, preserves, and defends the church of God, and without it, the church of God cannot exist for an hour. Which means this is really important for the church of Jesus Christ. We collapse or we triumph based on our relationship with God. What really is justification? The word justification, if we will understand it from a biblical perspective, is from the word just. And the word just is so often in reference to who God is. Who is God? God is just. God is good. God is holy, and He will always be so. He will always be just, He will always be good, and He will always be merciful, and He will always be willing to forgive those who come to Him by faith. And so when we apply this word justification or justify to us, it really means to be just on your part and on my part, to be innocent, to be righteous, to be able to stand before God and be treated as if we have never sinned. Righteous, holy in the eyes of the Lord. Think about it. Is this really possible for each one of us? Can we be just? Can we be innocent? Can we be righteous? Can we stand before God and not be condemned? If we say that justification is by faith, our act of believing, is that good enough? I think Paul, later on writing to the Ephesian Christians, say these very memorable words, which I think many of us will remember, a familiar verse there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. We read the first part very carefully. "For by grace are ye saved through faith." So clearly, justification begins with the grace of God. It is God Himself acting, initiating. It is God taking the first step, or else we will never be able to respond in our parts. As I shall explain later on, why is this so necessary, the need of justification for you and for me? Further on, we want to see that this matter of justification is something that is age-old, right from the start. Here in the book of Job, one of the earliest believers, parallel perhaps to the time of Abraham, a contemporary of Abraham, already they are beginning to ask that question. Job 4:17, it says, "Shall mortal man be more just than God?" Remembering the definition of justification, we are to be just, we are to be holy, we are to be innocent. But here the question is asking, can mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? And this is a rhetorical question, which means no, no way. Nowhere can we be just, not to talk about more just than God, not to talk about more pure, purer than God. We are so far down the rank that really we are in a mire, we're in the depths of sin, as we shall see later on. So it will be impossible for any mortal man to be on their own deed, by their own action, by their own life, be counted just, be counted pure. And there is another question there in Job 15, verse 14. It says, "What is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous?" So really a question like that, that comes from this godly man, really caused us to think once again on this matter of justification. Because we know by nature how bad we are. That's a fact. If we are really truthful and honest with this matter of holiness, godliness, purity in the sight of God, if you are really honest, I think all of us will truly be in dust and ashes before God. We will be so ashamed to even talk about doing good works, because there is no place, as far as God's standard is concerned, we cannot measure to His expectation. We live not anywhere closer to that standard that has been laid down for all of us. So here, even though these early believers have no scriptures, they have no documents whereby they are convicted of their expectation of God for every human being, but still it is nudging in their hearts, convicting them and showing their need of really coming humbly before God. That's all they can do, to plead for God's mercy, to beg God to show His kindness and His love. Why is justification important? Well, look at why is it so necessary then for us to come to the right place where we can certainly be accepted by God only by His grace. Yet another question, Job 25:4. How then can man be justified with God? How can he be clean that is born of a woman? Not only is there a search for this, but a longing to be right with God, a longing to come to a right relationship with Him. And really, as you look at the view of the holiness of God, we will truly view how sinful, how bad we are. So no matter what attempts we may try to justify ourselves, we know that this is really ridiculous, ludicrous, madness on our part. And for people who try so hard, because it is their religious belief that they must try so hard, give the best they can, behave themselves, not to cheat on their wives, provide for the family, have a clear conscience, still, they are nowhere nearer to God's acceptance of them to salvation. So really what Luther again says, quoting about this matter of justification, really no justification, no holiness, I can say there is no heaven, there is no forgiveness. Luther says, when the article of justification is lost, nothing remains except error, hypocrisy, godlessness, and idolatry. And this is so, so real. If we take away this matter of justification, where a sinner needs to get right with God, if there is no justification at all, that sinner, that prisoner, the only thing that the judge can say when he pounds on that table is sentence. It's penalty. It's payback time. It's lostness. So really, as you look at this, it must certainly matters. Justification matters. As I'll explain later on when we look at the benefits of justification. I'm glad that Paul begins on this positive note. Just to arouse in our hearts the longing to want to be right with God. As it shows us here in this first few verses of Romans chapter 5, telling us of these benefits that one can enjoy when he comes into a right relationship with God. The blessing whereby he will receive is number one, verse one, he says, we will have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Isn't this something that every human being is trying to achieve? This is the reason why they are religious. This is the reason why they want to do good. This is the reason why they want to behave themselves. Especially so when they are lying there on their deathbed. Because without this peace of God, they know that they are going to be lost. The future in front of them is uncertain. They are living in fear. And really, if you don't have peace with God, you are basically living in fear. You are so scared to even face tomorrow. And I know that this is an experience that even Christians go through. We are familiar with Psalms 23. Though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Just last week, a member in church passed on. But prior to his passing, not that he's fearful, he knows that his time is almost up. And whenever a brother or a sister or a pastor comes by, you know, he will hold their hand. And I know deep in his heart, he's saying, pray for me. I'm going through this very dark moments in his life. But you know, there is always a sense of assurance for a believer. That's the reason why he asked for prayer. Paul says, death is our last enemy. And when you face your enemy, there will be a sense of fear, anxiety. Will you ever get through this? Will you ever be able to overcome this strong enemy? And that's the reason why God knows how weak we are, how on our own we cannot triumph, we cannot overcome this. That's the reason why he says, he's with us. That's the purpose of the staff. That's the purpose of the rod. So that a believer going through this deep valley is aware of the presence of the Lord. This benefit comes about for those who are justified. For those who have already been made right, they have the peace with God, which implies they had been at war with God, which implies they are fighting with one another. They are at war with one another. They cannot see eye to eye. But when this happens, peace reigns. They shake hands. They sign on the dotted line. We will cease from war. We will cease from hostility. We will be friend from now onwards. So, beloved, are you a friend of God? Have you peace in your heart? You know, a Christian no more fear God. I know we need to have the fear of the Lord. But here, I'm saying about fearing, whereby you are just so frightened to know that God is looking at you, and then everything that you do, you are constantly watching. Whether someone is watching you, looking at you, at your wrong acts and bad behaviors, that fear is no longer there. This leads us to yet another blessing, where we can freely have this access to God. Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Sometimes in our experiences, we are fearful to meet certain kind of people. Tomorrow, you have an appointment with your big, big boss, and I can be sure tonight you will not have a good night. You'll be trembling. You'll be planning. You'll be going through your mind what to say if he asks me difficult questions. I can't answer. It'll be so embarrassing. I can forget about my promotion. But coming to God, although God is so holy, although he is so bright, that no human being can approach, described for us there in 1 Timothy chapter 6. But, you know, when you are right, made right with God, you're welcome. You're welcome. His arms are wide open to welcome you. And you can just walk right into his presence. You have the bonus. You have the confidence. And this is what prayer is all about, isn't it? Wherever you are, some people... Just the other day, we were having Bible study. Pastor, you know, when I go to the toilet, I don't pray. It's too holy for God. You think God can be stained with your dirt, with your dung? And of course, there are people who sing along the way, you know. The best place to sing is in the toilet. But if we have the sense of the holiness of God, nothing around you, the environment, the situation, the conditions, whatever it may be, should hinder you from having a right access into his presence. You're welcome. You're welcome into his presence. You can just walk in. And this is what Paul is saying. We are standing on this grace. You know, it's so precious. This grace of access to God is so precious and valuable and priceless. And we have to readily, all the time, enjoy this presence of the Lord and just talking to him. You know, the line is always open in whatever condition because you have been at peace with God. And that's the reason why you are welcome. I mean, how many of us have the opportunity to talk to the president, prime minister? You can't just knock at their doors. Although earlier, one of them was staying in Yishun, I think. But if you know the son, if you know his or her son, you know you have the access. In the same way, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have a relationship with him, because he lives in us, he's our Lord, he's our Savior, and that's the reason why we can come to God. And Paul makes this very, very clear. All this comes about because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:19, we're told, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. No ordinary man, no lay person in the days of old ever have the access to walk into the holiest of all and talk to God. No one. The Bible tells us it's only the high priest that has this privilege, this honor. And he has to come with the blood of a sacrifice. And he can only do it once a year. Here, thanks be to God that this, because of this greater sacrifice, all of us, at any time, at anywhere, walk to God and say, Father, my Father, God, my own God. Because that talks about a relationship that a believer has with the Almighty God. Another benefit I thought I want to mention to you here is clearly spelled out for us there in that verse 9, where we are saved from the wrath of God. He says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Do you realize, for a non-believer, every day that he or she lives, he's living under the anger of God. The cloud of God's anger above his head and ready to break down upon that person, upon that sinner. The Bible tells us here in John 3:36, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him continually. It continues to abide. It is always there. That dark cloud is over your head. And you're constantly living under that risk of this cloud breaking forth and crushing upon you. The Bible says, God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. And Paul says in Romans, he says, for these sinners who are continuing in their waywardness, in their sinful behaviors, they are basically treasuring up, heaping up God's wrath. You know, this is a very frightening thought. And when Jonathan Edwards preached that message, sinner in the hand of the angry God, the people in the congregation were all clinging on to the pillars of the church as if God's wrath is about to break on them and to destroy them and to kill them and to cast them into the depths of hell. But when that wrath is removed, No more you see the wrath of God, but you see the smile of God. Like a father seeing the child, smiling at him or her. I saw that when Daniel was playing the organ. Just turn back and look at the daughter, the smile. That's relationship. That's the closeness. And that's what we will experience when we are justified. Very quickly, one more. Not every verse, but this one I thought stands out. Again and again, if you look at the word reconcile, it has been repeated at least 3 or 4 times here in this short passage. We have been reconciled to God. Here in verse 10, it says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." You know, reconciliation is so necessary. Because you have been enemies with God. You can't look into one another's eyes. If it's possible, if he comes through that door, I want to walk out that door. There is no friendship, there is no relationship, whatever. I mean, if it's possible, I'll just try to find a reason, an excuse, to just get out of his presence. But when you are reconciled, you want to meet that person all the time. It's just like you are in love. And you will just keep it fresh. Keep it renewed day by day. Here, the Bible says, we have been reconciled. You know, it seems so impossible for anyone to have this kind of a relationship with the Almighty God. How can we? That's the reason why Job asked, how can a mortal man? And with this, and many more benefits that a believer can enjoy is justification. Does justification now matter? Does it matter now? So I want to just point out one more verse here before we go on to the next. Here in Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." Paul knew that this is important. And he will live his life, and indeed he lived his life to the fullest for the purpose of bringing people into a right relationship with God where they can be reconciled, be at friend with God. He lived for that. That's the whole purpose of his endeavor. That's his aim. That's his goal. Not because he's called into the full-time ministry. Not because he's the pastor of the church. But this is a responsibility, a role that every one of us is supposed to bear. Because if justification matters, and when it matters to you, it will also matter to those around you. And therefore, there is that burden in your heart to want to declare to as many people as possible, so that as many as possible people can get right with God and enjoy what you are enjoying. You know, I think of the beggars during the day of the kings. There was a drought, there was famine, there was no food. People were dying. And they walked into the Assyrian camp and realized that every one of them has died and others perhaps have fled. And the camp is empty. And there's plenty of food on the table. Of course, they enjoy themselves. This is the first time, you know, I've got all this meat. They add to their food. But it's more than they can eat. There are more than they can carry away with them. And so they went back, called the whole city, "Come, there's food here." And this is exactly what an ambassador should do. You go out there and you call people in and says, there's so much blessings here. Why are you there? Why do you want to abide under the wrath of God? Why do you want to die in your sin? There's all these benefits. Come. Come and enjoy. Secondly, I just want to point to you very quickly the need for justification because of our condition. I think Paul describes for us in these verses these few things of the condition of every human being that are born into this world. Verse 6 tells us we were hopeless. Verse 8 tells us that we were sinners. Verse 9 tells us that we were under the wrath of God. Verse 10 tells us that we were enemies. And because of this condition of everyone that is in the world, there is a need for them to be justified. And so justification matters. Because they cannot remain in this condition and not face God's wrath. You cannot go on in this condition and hope all is well. No, nothing is well. But there would only come a time that they will have to pay back. There will only come a time they have to come face to face with the Almighty God and give an account of their lives. And that's the reason why, beloved, it's such a fearful thing, like the Bible says, to stand before God is such a fearful thing. It's so fearful to face God that people recorded for us in the book of Revelation were actually calling out to the rocks and stones and mountains and just bury us alive. Just kill us. Because it's so frightening to look into the face of the Holy God. It trembles. They may be kings, they may be captains, they may be judges. But still, coming before God is such a terrifying experience. They wish that you would never be like that. Wish that they would be annihilated. They wish to just die. And care not for what the future holds. You know, there are people who are so hardened. You know, when you talk to them about the gospel, I mean, I help in the Hokkien ministry. They can talk that way, you know, such confidence, cannot. But when they are near death, they just cry out. So, beloved, the need is so clear. We don't want to remain in this condition. We want to get right with God. We want God to please help us. If my heart is so hardened, would you just break my heart? If I'm so proud, would you just make me humble? Please, get me on my knees and my faces. And come to this place where I can see the smile of God. Lastly, the basis of justification. The grounds have been prepared, and we just need to act on it. Here, very clearly, God demonstrated his love. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is a provision of God. This is something no one can ever do. And really, the religions of the world is just do. Be good. Behave yourself. Help the poor. Only God can do this act. And he has done it. He has given his son. He has demonstrated his love. He has opened the door. So that we may freely come Here is the act of God in sending his only begotten Son for sinners. Because that's the only way. That's the only way that he being just can be justified. His justness, his rightness, his holiness can be justified. When he provided a way whereby a sinner can enter into this right relationship with him. More than that, he also tells us here in verse 6, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And again there in verse 8, it is God allowing his Son to die. You know, you just have to read this short passage of 11 verses, and this thought kept coming back. This truth kept coming back. Verse 6, Christ died. Verse 8, Christ died. Verse 9, his blood for us. Verse 10, the death of his Son. Verse 11, his atonement. That there is this one act the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and he has done it once and for all. This is the only basis where a sinner, where an unbeliever, where an ungodless person, where an enemy of God can back on in order for he or she to come into this relationship with Almighty God. And really, this is one doctrine throughout the Bible, both the old and the new, that's always been focused on. It is either looking forward to the cross in the Old Testament with all the sacrifices that the Bible talks about, or for us to look back to the cross and realize at that central point, that focal point of humanity is the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the cross of Christ. It is where he has paid the price. It is where he has laid down his life so that you and I can have a relationship with God. So what really is the application? Just one word from 2 Corinthians 5 is for us to be reconciled to God. And I think this is the Reformation message that's been proclaimed throughout Europe since the time of Calvin and Luther and Zwingli and many more, saying to people who are so filled with their religiosity, so filled with their many good acts, right behavior, just going to church, just go for mass, just go for confession, just indulge in all these indulgences. All these have to be laid aside. And they have to only come through the mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, beloved, this is the same message for you. Be reconciled to God. And you know, we need to live daily under this, because we sin every day. We still yield to temptation. We still break God's heart. And we need to daily come to God and mend that relationship. That's when John says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. There is always a need for us to confess of our wrongdoings. But a preacher also says, not only must we only confess our wrongdoings, we must also confess our righteousness, our good works. You know, you think about it, it's true, it's right. Because our good works, our righteous acts, our godliness and holiness and prayerfulness sometimes have got hidden agendas that only God knows. Why are we doing this? Is it for you, for God or for yourself? For people to applaud at me? For people to think that, oh, you know, brother and sister, you have done so well? Or is it for the glory of God? May the Lord help us that we will really appreciate all that our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And the fact that we are here, we are in this grace. Remember, it is a grace of God. Not for anything that we have ever done, because we don't deserve it. So that at the end of the day, and every day, we may want God and God only to have the glory. May He stamp His words this morning in our hearts. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask once again that You will speak powerfully into our hearts. Lord, that we may truly not go out of this place if our relationship with You is not right. If our relation with You is not based on what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, we ask that You would take away our rebellion, take away our pride. May we come humbly before You, begging You as undeserving sinners, that You will be merciful. Lord, that You will once again open up the door. Welcome us, Lord. Thank You. Thank You for what Christ has done. And we know that we will never thank Him enough. In fact, all that we try to do and all that we have done would not be sufficient to thank Him. So help us, Lord. Give us gratitude in our hearts. And may we live each day for You. Hear our prayer, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.